Like I mentioned this morning, we're going to be back in the book of James, James chapter 3, and if you're willing and able, stand for the reading of God's word. I think I'm getting a cough, so bear with me. I might get a tickle in the back of my throat. You know the ones that are at the back of your throat instead of the top of your throat, and you know you're going to get sick, or bare minimum, you're going to be coughing a lot? We're going to be finding that tonight, so just bear with me. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. I know we covered verses 1 and 2 this morning, but we're going to get a run at verses 3 through 8. That will be our main text tonight. But James chapter 3, and we'll be getting our reading in verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which they, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, with whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and every bird, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord God, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word and how it just applies to our lives. I just ask that you help us to just hear your word tonight with an open heart and open ear. I ask that you just fill me with your spirit, Lord. I just ask that you put away from everybody any distractions, that we would just be solely focused on you, to hear from you, God, and then to respond how you expect us to. Just thank you for today. Thank you for being in your house today, Lord. And I pray, amen. You may be seated. So we talked about this morning how teaching with the tongue can have an effect on other people's lives. And the verses, obviously, this is in the same book. Our passage tonight is obviously all in James chapter 3. So it's all connected. James is just hitting different sections of the same subject, if you will. This morning we talked about how the people that James is writing to had a desire to teach and had a desire to be in authority, and how James was saying that there is a expectation, a desire. If you have this desire, then there needs to be a certain action that is brought along with it, and that is control of your tongue and control of how you, because you affect other people. You don't just affect yourself, but you affect the people around you and how they perceive God and how they are, how you present God is you oftentimes through your tongue. And that's, so you're teaching the world around you. This goes, and we kind of made application to fathers and teachers in the church. But we also talked about how it is even applicable for even our relationships one with another. But tonight we're going to talk about how the tongue has even an effect on your life. It said, you've heard it said that the pen is mightier than the sword. By words are the are ideas, and those ideas can be written down to influence people to go direction. Quote says, throughout human history, our greatest leaders and thinkers have used the power of words to transform our emotions, to enlist us in their cause, and to shape the course of destiny. Words can not only create emotions, they create actions. And from our actions flow the result of our lives. We see this happen in our very nation. There's positive and negative to this thought here tonight. We saw in our very nation as words were starting to go against the way of God into secular humanism. We watched the rise of evolution and come into our schools, and that God wasn't important in prayer, and God come out of our schools. We also saw it, though, in the founding of our nation, as our forefathers and founding fathers of this nation thought it important, as they wrote the documents of the Declaration of Independence and Constitution, that there was clear evidence that the necessity of God's help in our nation if it was going to live righteously. Both we can see on both sides that words had an effect, and words shaped ideas. And James here is continuing to show us that our words don't just affect others, though they do in our teaching, but they also have an effect on ourselves as well. This proverb, I was looking up quotes to for different ideas of the power of words. And this, I came across this one. I thought this was really good. Of your unspoken words, you are the master. Of your spoken word, the servant. And of your written word, the slave. Too oftentimes, we hurt ourselves by simply the words we speak or the thoughts we have. James transitions into an illustration here. Two, and then one negative one. And he starts with the horse. And horses are beautiful creatures. I love horses. I thought I loved horses. And then my little sister started growing up, and she really loves horses. She watched all the horse shows. She watched all of it. She learned about horses. She drew horses. I could call her right now, and she could probably tell me a fact about a horse that I don't even know. But the one thing about horses is that they are need to be under control. And that it takes a process, and because they're not just used to a bridle in their mouth right off the bat. They need training. They need to get comfortable with you. They need to trust you. And as the more time you spend with them, the more that they are able to do the work you need. They have the ability for work, for travel, for enjoyment, all because they are submitted to that bit. We can have the enjoyment of horses. It takes time into somebody's time to learn how to break a horse. And when we're under the control of our words, we can be just as helpful and useful like a horse is that has been broken in and being led by the bit. See, horses have the ability to plow, to travel hard paths. And I've even heard of stories of, I've heard a story of a marshal in some deep woods was taking a man on a trip to see some sights and different things. And he was a master of his horse. He had his horse for, I think, over a decade. And they had a bond. The horse trusted him, and the man trusted his horse. And one of these trips that this tour guide marshal would take, one of the horses got skittish because there was an animal rustling. The horse reared back, knocked its rider off, and took off. The marshal came next to the man, and out of came the bushes came a bear. But the marshal, because of the trust that he had in his horse and the horse in him, they were able to block between the man and the bear and stay steady, and the horse trusted him, and they backed the bear down, and the bear eventually took off. That wouldn't have happened if the master of the horse didn't have control of the horse. And that takes, like I said, time and trust. James also uses the idea of a ship, and not just like a rowboat. That's not what James is talking about here, but rather one of those, I would use the word galleon. Yeah, you see in textbooks and stuff of the Spanish Armada, maybe you learned in history. Those ships don't move very easily. It takes a lot of wind, and that's what James is saying. He has the idea here. It says, behold, also as the ship, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, but yet they're turned by a little rudder, just back and forth. Whatever the captain says to the left or to the right, it can either lead the crew and all the people aboard to destruction and run them into the rocks, or he can sail where he's supposed to go and get to his destination. See, our tongue being used correctly is only done by letting God control it. When God has control of our tongue, he has the ability to guide our life. Because God, we talked about this morning, and like I said, they're intertwined. We talked about it this morning is we, when we're in control of our tongue, where it's destruction. It's our flesh that is going to be in control. And we know that whenever the flesh is in control, it leads to destruction every time. But when God is in control, we can be sure that we are following the right guide. Churchill said, by swallowing evil words unsaid, no one has ever harmed his stomach. But when James does not just stick us with this, is like of this idea, this imagery, and a lot of, at least I do, I learn by watching. So YouTube videos on how to fix my car. I can't read manuals. I can't. You asked me, Pastor was just talking about finding the old car manual and learning how to fix an engine. Not a chance on my life. Give me a nice 2-hour YouTube video. I could probably figure it out. At least get it to the mechanic shop. I can't. I have to be shown. And the James is here is illustrating this. These two understood things in their culture and in the ancient world, giant ships and horses. Horses was the land travel. Ships were the water travel. Each of them, though, were commanded by a very small member. In our lives, our direction is controlled by a very small member. And we talked about it this morning, is our tongue leads us, because our tongue reveals our character. And when God doesn't have our character, we're not being led in the right way. And that is all revealed and shown in our words. But James transitions to another illustration here. Because when our tongue is not submitted to God, when it's not used properly, our tongue is like a fire. See, fire is usually used for warming and cooking and providing light. But when the tongue is not submitted, it's destructive. See, the word used there, iniquity, though I know we see it a lot, but I thought it would be good for us to know exactly what it means. It means unrighteousness and justice. See, when our tongue isn't under control of God, the only thing that's going to come out is unrighteousness and wrong and sin. See, we are not built. Our sin nature isn't built bent towards right. It's always bent towards wrong. So whenever we let our tongue take control, and we talked about this, we've seen it in different spots. Our bosses at work, right? Our coworkers, lost people we come into contact with. When their words are spoken, our world is full of, we see it in our TV shows, foul language, backbiting, hypocrisy, undermining of authority. This entire movement here of recently, at least in my generation, from when I was being a kid, I say being a kid, I'll specify a little bit, from like ages 7 till now, there's been this agenda to undermine authority, and that you can just live any way you want to, and you don't have to listen to your parents, but do how you wish, when you wish, and there's no consequences, which is farthest from the truth that you could almost get from the Bible. And that is all done by words, by promoting this disrespect towards parents, this disrespect to authority, that you can act however you want to. Now it's just funny videos of people losing their minds at their job after they get fired. You know, I can go through Instagram and watch at least 6 of them a day. You know, I'm just like, you're such a knucklehead. Of course you're going to get fired. You stole something, you know. But that behavior is normalized because of words that were used without control from God, you know. And it's not that it's a lot of times, even I dare say all the time, that when God is not in control, the words that we use can become a fire. Unfortunately, we've seen it in split churches. Unfortunately, we've seen it split families. As words not controlled by God, not spirit-led, not living, trying to be Christ-like, lead to hurt and pain and destruction. God has a direction that He wants our words to go. And I'm going to talk about this in here in a little bit in our application. But just because you don't like somebody or don't have the same preferences as somebody doesn't mean you get to take off the bridle or take off letting God having control of your life or your mouth. And I'm not talking about standing on truth. And that's not what we're saying tonight. And we'll hopefully explain that a little bit more later. But I'm not talking about when somebody says God, that Jesus isn't God. That's not what we're talking about. But rather whenever you're in somebody that you might be at odds with or not necessarily complete friends with, and you're not letting God guide your tongue, you can still be destructive and still be in the wrong. Somebody said, be careful with your words. Once they are said, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten. And we know too many people that are either careless or controlled by their words. Our tongue without submission to God will lead to destruction every time. See, God, our words have an effect on people. And we know that. And I know I've mentioned it probably at least 10 times. But I'm trying to drive it home to get to make sure we have it cemented, that it's clear that there is this idea in the world that words don't matter. My words can mean what I want for me. Your words can mean what you want for you. We don't have to agree. It's called subjective truth, you know. And when we let our thinking and our way of living be subjective and the winds of change, we're going to be led astray. Because unless they're grounded in God's word, then we're not going to be God-led. Unless our thinking is grounded in the Bible, we're not going to have God actually in control. See, we in ourselves do not hold the power to tame our own tongue. Our sin nature wants to say whatever it wants to say all the time. My little brother could probably attest to that through childhood. We got in some good arguments, good black eyes, and we said what we wanted to say, but that wasn't God-led. It was selfish. Another example of this would be another quote I found: "The human tongue is a beast that few can master. It strains constantly to break out of its cage, and it is not tamed. It will run wild and cause you grief." Because we can only control our tongue when we're submitted to God, like we started with. But the submission is a process. And like what I mentioned earlier, even when it's people we don't agree with, we still should be in control of our tongue. And even when it's something of significance even, right? An argument that matters, I got to be careful how I say this because what I'm about to say might confuse you. So truth is truth, and we need to stand on the word of God. Amen? We need to defend what we know, what the Bible says when weak skeptics come. Amen? But we need to have the right disposition in our words. And that's the difference. Because we can say the right thing in the wrong way, in the wrong attitude, and somebody might miss an opportunity to get right with God because you had the wrong disposition. And they only can know your disposition by the words you use with them. So if it's in hostility, in anger, in hatred, just because how can this knucklehead not agree with me that there's a Trinity? How dare he not know that that is the truth? And you just berate them and get on their case and just demean them, then you're not going to be as effective as you think you might. And likewise, whenever we have God control and be Holy Spirit-led, and when we confront somebody, we can still hold just as firmly. We can still just stand on the same exact truth. But when we come before them and say, hey, this is what God's word said, we might not agree, but I need to show you what God's word has said about salvation. That Jesus is the only way, that no man can come to the Father but by him. And you present it with a demeanor that is God-led, we can have a lot more effective conversations than if we are not. See, words are used to either build up or tear down. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." This is not only found in the pages of the Bible, though. Even secular scientists have found this to be true. And when it comes to us, the studies show that the power of positive words and thoughts have an effect on us. And I'm not talking about this, the false idea of like name it and claim it, like, oh, I want $1 million and God's going to drop it out of the sky as long as I tithe and I think really good thoughts about God and try to do good things for the church. That's not what I'm talking about. But rather when we choose to think on the things that are good, that are lovely, that are a good report, and we come to God and say, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you've done to me and for me and guiding my life. And we come before him and when we dwell on those things, instead of dwelling on what we don't have or our struggle or our problems, not that they're gone, but we make a conscious choice, like with our tongue, because our tongue is revealing our inner character, right? So when we use our conscious words to praise God and to thank him for who he is, instead of just talk about our troubles all the time or focus on the bad things that happened in our life or focus on the things that we don't have, it is clinically proven that you are in better health when you're focusing on the things, the positive things of life and not the negative. We live healthier lives because it takes help that we do not have in our own power. But when we rest in God, he makes us at peace. See, unless we make it a choice to put our tongue under the control of godly wisdom, you will do evil with it and be destructive. But it should not be said of Christians that we are destructive with our words, whether it be by cursing, tearing each other down, lying, talking bad about the authority in our life that God has placed there. But rather, we should be known by God's control over our tongue. And when we do, it'll lead us to the right use of our tongue. And many of people in here have been benefited by somebody's right use of the tongue here tonight. Somebody shared the gospel with you. And we talked about teaching this morning, and I'm going to reference it a couple more times before we're done tonight. But somebody decided that, okay, God has been good in my life. God has shown me that this person needs the gospel. Let me proclaim the gospel to them and use my words in the right way. And then when they use their words in the right way, it directed their ship into your life and was able to give you the ability to hear the gospel for the first time. They let their tongue be under subjection of to God, and they got to the destination God wanted them to get. See, God doesn't just do things by randomness. He rather has a plan for each one of our lives. And that first and foremost is to become more like his son. And to become more like his son, we have to have our words controlled like his son was. See, Jesus confronted the Pharisees, but he also chose his words wisely and was under the leadership of God the Father the whole time. God has a purpose for your words. And when we keep submitted to him, just like we talked about a little bit this morning too, of words leading to destruction, and we here find in our passage are like a fire and can burn things down. We've seen relationships burn down. Likewise, we can turn a ship, we can turn our lives around if we let God have control of our mouth. Because when we let God control the words that we say, we can, and we stay submitted to him, he'll eventually get to, we can eventually see a change in our lives, and our heart will be affected as well. And when our heart changes, our character changes. We can see God work in our life. Be mindful when it comes to your words. A string of some that don't mean much to you may stick with someone else for a lifetime. The people's view of God, your children, strangers, friends, family, are affected by the way you speak. Not only when we teach, not only like when we preach, like we talked about this morning, but the testimony of your mouth. That is why the psalmist writes, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Psalm 19:14. Our lives are controlled by our tongue. And it's clear. James is clear. And those tongues need wisdom. And James ends chapter 3 in verse 17. It says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Well, to be peaceable, you have to speak peaceable. To be gentle, you have to speak gently. To be easily entreated or easily somebody come to you with a request takes you having gentle words towards them. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, all take words. Our lives are dictated by words. Whether you're in a teaching position with either as pastor is, or as I am when I went down in junior church, or in TNT, or Brother Carlos is when he's teaching teen Sunday school class. Whether it's what you're teaching your children and your families as you're trying to raise them up in God's house and trying to get them closer to their son, it's all dictated by your tongue. But not only that, your own personal life. What direction are you going tonight? And a way to check that is, how are you using your tongue tonight? And just like a horse is not broken in one training session, it might take some time. It might take some confession to God, some going into his word, asking for help, and taking time in and time out. You're going to fall. But this is the same. This is going to be the same process with any struggle in the Christian life. We're just focusing on the tongue tonight. We're never going to get it right on the first try. Dare I say, we're never going to get it perfectly right ever until we're in heaven, unfortunately. We talked about it this, or at least I talked about it this morning. I don't know what y'all talked about. But I just wish it was just one time. Check. Pride, out of here. Bad attitude, out of here. Lying, out of here. You know, But it's not, we know that's not how the Christian life goes. It's consistent time spent with God so that we begin to mimic His words. Consistent time with God so that what comes out of our mouths is God's words. What He said about life, what He said about truth, what He said about wrong, what He said about, you fill in the blank, what He said about His word. Your view of God is shaped by the words you give to God. Is He holy? Is that what you ascribe to God? Is He mean? Is that what you ascribe to God? Is He faithful? Is He unfair? Is all dictated by the words you use. How we view God is seen through the words you use, even into yourself. Not even spoken words, but words that you think. Because that's how we get imagery, is by the words we use. When I say the word horse, y'all don't think of a carrot. When I say hockey player, you don't see a football going through a goalpost. When I say, you know, Kansas City Chiefs, we don't think of the Seattle Mariners. Words are attached to things. What are your words attached to? When I say the words full devotion, is it God or something else? When it's truth, do you think Bible? Or do you think your own thoughts? When we say hope, do we think of God's hope? Or do we think of just thinking really good thoughts about a situation, hoping they turn out? All found in words. So how are your words tonight? And how are your words being used? Words have energy. One last quote. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble. Let's use them right tonight that we might encourage, edify, love, and proclaim truth with God's help.